Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety. Merry Christmas and a happy Hanukkah season to all. I hope you are having a fantastic December so far, full of love and gratitude for all you have. And speaking of gratitude, later in the program, I'm going to share an interview I did for my author series on my online radio network called Speak Up Talk Radio. And you can find that at speakuptalkradio.com. Speakuptalkradio.com, where we feature podcasts of all topics, as well as one-on-one interviews. The one I'm sharing today with you really focuses on being grateful, because after having a conversation with my guest, I realized there was nothing going on in my life that could compare with hers. She was abandoned as a baby on the steps of a police station in Seoul, Korea, and despite her rocky beginnings, is now a beautiful woman / poet who has authored several books of her poetry as a way to inspire others and give hope. So, especially during this holiday season, I felt it appropriate to share gratitude, hope, and inspiration with you. So that is coming up. But before we get there, I have some naughty and not so nice germy hiding places to share with you. So let's get started, shall we? Because right now, it's time for the health hazard of the week. You'll probably be hitting the mall this upcoming week to get ready for the holidays. But before you do, I want to do my job and share some naughty and not so nice germy hiding places. So here are my top 10 in no particular order. Number 1, the public bathrooms, particularly the bathroom sink. It is the dirtiest place in the bathroom because it never dries out, which helps bacteria grow. Think about this sequence. After someone uses the toilet, the first thing they touch is the door lock. I mean, they have to touch it to get out, and you have to touch it to lock yourself in. So it's fairly safe to say that by the time someone gets to the sink, their hands are contaminated, and then they touch the faucet and or the soap dispensers, which in themselves are pretty disgusting. I did a segment a long time ago about how the soap inside the containers are contaminated, typically by the people refilling them. They say that 1 in 4 contained unsafe amounts of bacteria. Well, luckily you wash your hands after using the dispenser, and as long as you wash well and dry thoroughly, I guess you should be good to go. Speaking of going, don't open the bathroom door with your perfectly cleaned hand, because I can guarantee you the door handle is contaminated by some lovely person who obviously does not listen to this program. Use a paper towel or a nice wad of toilet paper to help you exit safely and without cross-contamination. Number 2, the tables in the food court. Even if you see an employee wipe it down, there's no way to know how clean the rag is, and they've probably been using the same one all day. The rag itself can spread bacteria like E. coli. And you know, they use the same rag all day long. Number 3, the escalator handrails. If you touch one and then touch your face, it's like asking to get the flu. One research group tested escalator handrails and found E. coli, urine, mucus, feces, and blood. Great. Number 4, the ATM keypads. Researchers tested 38 ATMs in a busy city center and found that each key contained an average of 1,200 germs. Whoa. And the dirtiest key was, guess which one? Yep, the enter button. The best way to avoid the germs is to use hand sanitizer afterward. And instead of hitting the buttons with your finger, use your knuckle. Germs on your fingertips are much more likely to eventually end up in your mouth. Number 5, Toy stores. Oh, yeah. Thousands of kids touch thousands of toys and leave behind millions of germs. Unfortunately, you can't do much about it while you're in the store, other than to use a hand sanitizer when you leave. But if you do buy something, you can be extra careful and wipe it down with alcohol or vinegar before you give it to your child. I actually think about this after shopping at the grocery store. You come home and empty the bags on your kitchen counter, dirty cans, boxes, bags, and do you ever wipe down your counter with bleach wipes after that? I do. Something to think about, people. Number 6, fitting rooms. The rooms aren't actually the problem. The clothing is. When people try things on, skin cells and sweat accumulate on the fabric, and both of those things help bacteria grow. Supposedly, you don't have to worry about shirts and sweaters as much, but before you try on a pair of pants or a dress, make sure you are wearing full coverage underwear. In other words, no thongs. Oh my, we're going strange places here today, folks. Number 7, the gadgets at electronic stores. Display items you can touch, like cameras and cell phones, are obviously covered in germs. And a study published last year found that viruses transfer extremely easily between the glass screens on electronics and our fingertips. Number 8, makeup samples. A recent study found that at least 67% of makeup testers are contaminated with bacteria, including staph, strep, and E. coli. Yikes. Number 9, mall playgrounds for kids, or the playgrounds in fast food places too, for that matter. Need I say more? Well, now there are obviously so many I can mention, but you get the idea. Oh, and here's one you may not have given much thought to. My holiday winter, number 10, mall Santas. That's right. I said mall Santas. If you've listened to this program, you know that bacteria can live on fabric for long periods of time, up to 90 days or more, depending upon the bacterium and the fabric. We talk about this as it relates to doctors' lab coats and scrubs. But what about Santa's uniform? Do you really think that a mall Santa is going to rush home and bleach his suit in hot water each evening? Even if he wanted to, he'd ruin his suit. So suffice it to say, Santa is dirty, germy, and has the potential to give your kids more than their requested toys. What would you like for Christmas, little girl? I've got a healthy dose of E. coli, a bit of MRSA, some strep, mold, and the H1N1 virus. Ho, ho, ho. Oh, no, no, no. Santa is a health risk. Now, I don't know if there have been any formal studies on germs, cross-contamination, and mall Santas, but common sense dictates that Santa's suit is not clean, given all the kids who sit on it. Kids in leaky diapers or clothing that hasn't been washed in a while. Let's face it, kids roll around on the floor and tend to wear their favorite things over and over again. So I think it's safe to say that if one swabbed a Santa suit and tested it, you would find it filled with unsavory little gifts. And if Santa doesn't get you, the lines waiting to see him hold promise, because the cold and flu virus is commonly transmitted through coughs and sneezes. In fact, the H1N1 virus can hang on surfaces for several hours. So if you are the adult in charge, carry hand sanitizer and use it. So, short of never leaving the house again, what is a person to do? Well, start by washing your hands regularly, just using good old-fashioned soap and water. Try not to touch your face either, since that is the main way we transmit most bacteria into our bodies. And just use common sense while shopping, especially when shopping with children. Make sure they wash their hands before they eat. Wash everyone's hands upon entering your home. Throw your clothes in a hot washing machine when you get home, and while you're at it, give your cell phone a thorough cleaning with a disinfecting wipe. Remember what Jerry the Germ says, people are talking dirty and don't even know it. Your cell phone may actually harbor more bacteria than the dirtiest mall Santa. And that's all I'm going to say about this. Happy holidays!
I'm Jerry the Gerb with a Speak Up and Stay Alive healthcare and hospital safety snippet just for you. Here's our expert, Pat Rulo.
Hey, Jerry, did you know that people are talking dirty and don't even know it? What do I mean? Think of cell phones and office telephones. Talk about germ collection devices. The germs on a person's hands go onto the phone, and a lot of respiratory viruses are expelled when you talk, sneeze, or cough. Thousands of people each year miss time from work thanks to all of this dirty talk. Don't waste your money on avoidable doctor visits and out-of-pocket medical expenses. Staying safe is easy. Invite me to speak to your employees. We'll have fun as you learn how to keep a clean and germ-free workplace. And Jerry, what are you doing on the bottom of that lady's purse?
Stay safe. Listen to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. For more information, go to speakupandstayalive.com.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that's where you can purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate, Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out and in a positive way. And remember, we donate 2 handmade pillowcases to either a troop member or to a local veteran's shelter for every book sold with your name on it as the donor. So for a mere $20, you benefit, and so does some well-deserving warrior. Give a meaningful and useful gift that really says, I care. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, and throw in some of those icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everybody needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com, or you can request by email at speak@speakupandstayalive.com, or call me 440-725-5462. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you are listening to today's interview and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. And right now, I have a lovely author and poet with me. She is Joy Schmidt. Joy is the author of Dreams of the Heart, Volumes 1 and 2, book compilations of poems about love, life, loss, and inspiration, and the book Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket. Humanitarian efforts are very dear to her heart, and she often volunteers and donates to a variety of organizations like Save the Children, the Red Cross, and efforts to help the homeless, among others. She is also a writer for Kids on the Porch, a TV show created to help prevent bullying among children and teenagers. Currently, she is contemplating a new direction for a book series, and you can learn more at her website, www.joyschmidt.com. And after having read her poetry in her book, Dreams of the Heart, I've been waiting to share her and her work. So let's get going. Welcome to the network, Joy.
Thank you very much, Pat. Very happy to be on your show.
Well, I am very happy to have you here. I've been looking forward to this actually all day long. So I'm glad we're I'm glad we're together. Well, now, before we find out about your books, let's find out a bit about you, because after reading your work, I had a sense that what I read is you, and I can feel some hurt and sadness and loneliness, and at the same time, inspiration. So if it's all right with you, would you mind sharing a bit about who you are?
Definitely. An interesting question, because it's like, where do you begin? But I guess what I would say is, you know, one thing that a lot of people that are close to me know is that I was an abandoned baby. I was actually found on the steps of a police station in Seoul, Korea, and I think it's kind of interesting, because I think over time, it's probably part of the reason why I've, you know, always had a dream to be a writer. I was very much inspired by a well-known, you know, movie series called Anne of Green Gables, where the girl was actually, an abandoned child, and she was adopted. And what's interesting is that she actually became a writer.
Oh.
And she was actually brought to her home in a horse-drawn carriage that had brown horses, which is ironically my favorite animal, and I didn't realize that till I saw the movie again as an adult. I saw it as a child, but it's just interesting how much the things we watch growing up or read or anything affect who we are as an adult. So I think it was the first movie I saw that made me really, you know, feel good about being an abandoned baby. And then on top of that, inspired me to, you know, be like, keep going after my dreams. And I think that's why I even try to inspire, because I feel like, you know, once you go through some of the toughest things and come through, then you show your, you know, other brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, they'll be okay too, that no matter what, we'll always be okay.
Wow. What a story. And then did you have a family after that? Did you have adoptive parents?
Yes. That is, unfortunately, some situations are not always the most simple to explain, but I believe through God has been helping me a lot. I was adopted by a family. Sometimes, you know, situations are not as, you know, picture perfect as we would hope them to be, but there's still love, and, you know, you just kind of make your family in the world as well. Like the Bible tells us that we're supposed to, you know, find our brothers and sisters in the world and stay strong and help support one another and keep each other going.
Wow. Well, you certainly are a beautiful person. I could tell that by your work. And I would imagine that, especially as a poet, it would be difficult to write poetry about that which you have not experienced or felt, thus making your work autobiographical.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true, yes.
Well, then what was that aha moment, if there was one, when you knew you had to put pen to paper or fingers to computer?
Well, you know what's interesting? When I was a little girl, for some reason, I would get in trouble for having my flashlight under my covers trying to finish the last book that I was... So I've always had a love for reading. And then even when I was a little girl, I tried to write some books. I made like one called like The First Pizza and The First Cat. And I actually drew pictures and made the binding. And so I think I've always had a love for the written word, and then Shakespeare, and just the way he could say something like, you know, oh, but if I were a glove upon that hand and I could touch thy cheek, like stuff like that, where someone could write as if they were painting a picture with just a few words. And I thought that was just one of the most beautiful forms of art.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess naturally just love, and because I love reading as it is, I love reading. So maybe that's probably why, you know, they say do what you love,
mm-hmm.
and it'll show in your work.
Right. So why poetry versus a novel or a short story?
Well, actually, someone once gave me advice. They told me that the best writers write something every single day, because it helps get the writer, it helps someone get their comfortable with their own writer's voice. So basically, I would, you know, I've with journal, but I would also write poems, because for some reason, and probably because I was influenced by some musicians too, because poetry is similar to a song, because I have had people tell me my poems sound like songs, some of them. So I think that it was a way for me, as you said, these poems are written from my life, so it was a way for me to kind of, you know, take whatever I went through in life and make it beautiful experience, rather than like, oh, I went through something and someone broke my heart or someone did this or some, and turn it around so that. And what was interesting too is that through that, I believe, you know, I'm talking a lot about God, but I believe that's the reason why I'm even here standing telling you about all this stuff, is because I believe he found me, because I was, you know, not, my family had stopped going to church when we were like when I was in the third grade, and I started writing the poems, and a lot of them were about God, angels, blessings, and it wasn't like I was going to church. And then some Christian magazines came and asked to publish them. So I never openly said I was Christian or anything, so I truly do believe God finds his children. He found, you know, he found me, he finds you, he finds us, and then helps keep us safe by putting good people like you, like, in our lives, that we just stay safe and only his good message is lifted up. That's what I believe.
Oh, you are so inspiring. And that's what you are. And that's what I love about you. When I read your poetry, I felt, wow, I cannot possibly put into words what you did. And I think that's what's so powerful about your work, that you capture what other people are feeling but don't know how to go about expressing in a word. Where do you go, or how is it that you are able to express such emotion in words?
I think, you know, and I wondered that myself, and then I thought, you know what? When you look at a painter, for example, you think, how did the painter decide to, you know, put the flowers in the arrangement that they did, or make the sky look a certain way, or how did that dancer freestyle, like dance on the floor? They hear a new song and they do this amazing new, you know, dance routine. And I believe it's just because whatever you're, or like a runner or a swimmer or someone who's very adept at some sort of skill, the more that they're immersed in it, the more that it becomes natural. And it's almost like, because those poems, I mean, this is just to say what exactly happened. Those poems, each one was probably written within 5 minutes because it was from my mind, free flowing. But it's kind of like when you look at a person who hears a new song and all of a sudden they get up and do this amazing dance routine because they've been so immersed in how to do different free flowing moves. They've watched enough videos. They've, you know, had dance instructors, or maybe the music itself, they love the music so much, their body just naturally moves to the music. So mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel like with the writing, because it wasn't always like that. It took progression of me being able to just continue to keep writing, keep, you know, reading stuff, listening to great music, being inspired. I'll tell you this real also, that I read something about this thing called collective consciousness.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of artists who have that aha moment, and people think, oh, you know, the artist is just, you know, some enigma or something. But basically what they were explaining is that throughout the day, everyone has moments where you might see a beautiful sunset, you might see a cute little adorable child, you might see, you know, a dog, and you might see some, and these collective things come together into like almost being poured into like a little cup of water. And once that's filled, then the cup is filled with inspiration, and then there's that aha moment.
Mm.
So I believe that's why a lot of times people have those moments, is just because they've had enough of inspiration that comes. So basically saying that anyone, because God gave us all these abilities, anyone
mm-hmm.
with enough time, practice, and love for anything that they're really trying to go towards will have those natural moments in whatever it is that they're doing, you know, as long as they really are immersed in it and really love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
No, that's very inspiring. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking about how so many people are so tied to technology and their phones and, you know, texting, that no one really is paying attention and looking inward and allowing themselves this kind of an opportunity. So I hope that our conversation today might just turn on a little light for some folks to.
Definitely, yeah, because I think a lot of people, you know, the ones that aren't going after their dreams have just, you know, either maybe not had enough support around them, or, you know, have just, you know, because people sometimes think, oh, well, you know, they are not going to be the ones or whatever, but you know in your heart that anything, if you start from point A, you'll always get to point B if you just keep going. It's like the turtle and the hare. Just keep steady, and you keep going towards whatever goal, and it will happen. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, I love you.
Thank you very much.
Well, now, as you were writing these and it came time to think about publishing them, did the thought ever cross your mind where you thought, nah, this is too personal, I can't put it out to the public?
The only thing that occurred to me about was I actually wrote a full novel mm-hmm. on my life, because, of, you know, I did kind of mention things weren't always picture perfect. So, but I thought, you know, that sort of thing, because I do still, I love my adopted parents. Everybody has gone through whatever they've gone through. So I would never want to, you know, you would never want to do anything to make anyone look bad
sure.
in any way, because I've made mistakes, you've made mistakes, we've all made mistakes. But so for me, what I did notice is that people heal from feeling like someone is sharing something that they went through, but they survived.
Mm-hmm.
People heal through, like, you know, because a lot of times people won't even get into a relationship because they're afraid they're going to get their heart broken. But, you know, that's part of the risk of life, you know. But with time, you know, people learn more and more what is, you know, for example, like, say someone wants to be in a relationship. Their best friend is typically the person that teaches them the best way to be in a relationship because that's a friend. You know, it starts with girlfriend, boyfriend. And so, because a lot of times people are like, oh, I have to follow these dating rules, or I got to, no, it should be natural. It should be a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, the whole point is that I believe that I put it out there because you know in your heart that if you have a friend, that, you know, it's like sharing your heart with the world. Why? The only thing we heal from is true, natural human connections. And because, as you mentioned, you know, society is now more technology and all this stuff, and people are not interacting as much in person because of those things, putting something where it's a true situation that people, and that you're still standing, to let them go, hey, you know, if I go on a date with someone, they break my heart, I can still survive through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I
or
do.
If I try to go for a dream, it just is a way to help inspire people to be like, no matter what they go through, whether they, you know, it's just a lesson, so that the next thing that comes their way is going to be even better.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And so what's very interesting about this is that you talked about being a friend. Do you feel like you can be a role model of sorts for others who read your work?
It's funny because with time, it's almost like you know you have to be one. If you're in the public eye, if you're a responsible, caring person and you love people, you have to be. That's why I did not mind pairing up with some, like Kids on the Porch, for example, which is, you know, a show to prevent bullying amongst kids, because that's one of the biggest issues we're dealing with now because of all the cyberbullying and all that stuff. And because I feel like if we truly want the world to be a better place, we have to be, as Mahatma Gandhi said, we have to be the change that we want to see in the world. We have to stand up and be a positive influence and be the type of person that our children, like, that a child would be like, wow, like, I want to grow up and be like that person. But meaning, like, a person that is only trying to put good into the world and not doing any other stuff that is not positive to the world. So basically, I think that if anyone is a public, in the public eye, and truly loves someone, they are already a role model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, truly loves the public, then you are a role model. I'm a role model, you know, because we're in the public eye.
Right, and you have a responsibility with that as well. Yep.
Exactly.
So tell us about the book then, Dreams of the Heart.
Well, what's interesting about the Dreams of the Heart book is that I never thought I was going to publish poetry. I actually have had this dream of publishing a novel series for forever. And then a lady, a publisher, actually found my writing online because, you know, this is another tip for some writers. For me, you know, it took a while to build up my confidence. So to build up my confidence, I would, you know, publish some of my writing in writing forums that work for free, no money or anything like that. And then I have, you know, my peers read my work, and I would read their work, and then I got confidence because I'd see, oh, you know, really great writer read my stuff. Then, you know, I must, you know, have some good writing. And then from there, it's stages. But anyway, so then because of that, I was putting a lot of writing out on the internet, and a publisher found my work and asked me to, if they could publish my writing. And I thought, well, I have all these poems already. Might as well just, you know, touch them up a little bit and put them in a book together. But then, you know, and then once that happened, I was like, something is happening here. I feel like this is actually, and now I'm starting to think that maybe that was God's, you know, use for me, I guess, for lack of a better word, but in the fact that maybe I was supposed to write these books for him to shine light on his glory, because, like I said, the poems I was writing were about God and angels, and I wasn't going to church at the time. So if he chooses you, he, you know, writes through your hand, you know, and puts out there what he wants the world to, you know, and feel good about, right. You know, love and blessings and miracles. And anyhow, this is how you know I'm a writer, because I can keep talking on it.
Well, that takes me to my next question, then. Why book two?
That's perfect. Well, yeah, book two was basically for the same reason, because there were still more poems that I had written. And plus, I thought, well, a lot of times people, in order for something to become memorable, I also read that, and this is, you know, something for writers, they said something about, you know, you have to keep writing in order to, and so I wrote, because there were more poems, more experiences, and it just felt natural. I guess basically for me, it's been anything that felt natural, like even the kids on the porch, that was a natural thing that happened. Basically what had happened is, you know, I was doing a soap modeling for this electric vehicle company, you know, so green battery charged mopeds. And then I was on, they did a commercial for KTLA Morning News. I met Gail Anderson. This is what I'm talking about being natural. So then I was friends with her on Facebook. I found something that she had posted saying that there was a place to give free food for Thanksgiving, donate food. So I actually went to the place, and that's where I met Raina Ray, who is the producer of Kids on the Porch. That's where we were donating the food. I went there, I met her. She told me that her writer had moved to Texas. So we hit it off right from the beginning, like friendship. And then from there, she said I could, you know, write. You know, so I've written a couple scripts for her. And that's basically what I mean by, like, natural. It's almost like you let God just, you know, control your footsteps, and you just go in the direction that you're living your life. And then you happen to meet these people, you know, meet these people that I guess were meant to be in your life. Mm-hmm. And then because it was such a good organization and concept, that's why I, you know, I wanted to be a part of it, because it was so, you know, just a good message for today.
Absolutely. I love how life takes you in the direction you're supposed to be. And like you say, you were there delivering food, and then all of this happened. So it was not a random situation.
Yeah, it's like you live your life, and then, so that's why, like, you know, even the book series, it wasn't planned. Mm-hmm. Well, God probably planned it, but it wasn't planned by me.
It wasn't your plan.
I was planning on writing my novel series, so.
Well, now, I'd love for you to select a few pieces to read for us today.
Okay, perfect, for sure. So the first one, actually, when you asked that came to mind, is called You Are the Light of the World, inspired by the Bible verse. And it starts like this. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Turn to God, for he is your Savior. He is your Father, your life, and your light. When you choose to walk with him, all that is righteous returns once again. Live not for any one thing, but for everyone's dream. Live for the chance to inspire, give life to others. Live for the moment to spread love and joy. For it is by divine intervention alone that you breathe in and breathe out, that the light of day continues to shine from within, even when you feel without. You are the body and spirit of all the gentle hearts you meet. You are the song and melody of every symphony you create. You are the light of the world.
Absolutely lovely, just like you.
Go ahead.
Yes, please, another.
I like this one because it's about survival. The miracle of life. When under the moon, a crimson river cut through, and the pale night has somehow forgotten you, there is the familiar shiver, the night air so cool. It calls the spirit to attention. It reminds the heart that a love so true forever blooms. For it is unlike the wounded foot to remain scarred, to remain named incurably hard. Or, like the mighty oak and the rich green vine, survival is an insurmountable prize, a sacred treasure to find. Indestructible, unbreakable, the roots dig deeper, branching out unshakable as they stretch and reach for the gift of light, the nourishing blessing, the miracle of life.
What a beautiful message. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Wish we had all day. You could read the entire book to us.
You're so kind. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pat. I'm so grateful for this interview. You don't know how grateful I am.
Oh, well, so am I. Like I say, I was looking forward to it today because after I read your work, I thought this is someone I want to get to know. Well, now your other book, Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket, is a bit different in that it's inspirational and some fun quotes that people can use every day, almost like positive affirmations, which are a huge part of my life. I have something right here. Let me read it. It says, "You can do it if you believe. See the picture." Something my dad wrote about 30 years ago. He's been gone for quite a while, but it's just on a little scrap of paper. And
what was it again?
He wrote,
can you repeat this?
Yes, he said, "You can do it if you believe. See the picture."
I love it.
Yeah, that's on my desk. I have positive affirmations all over my house. Everywhere you go, there's little cards. I think it was Louise Hayes that did these positive affirmation cards. And someone gave them to me as a gift. And you know, even if you don't know that you're taking that in, subconsciously you're reading that and feeding yourself positive things and positive energy. So if you would, maybe just share a few of your favorites with us from the book, Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket.
Wonderful, yes. So it is definitely a different version of the other books. It's more of the quote from the book. Basically, when I was writing Dreams of the Heart, volumes 1 and 2, I realized that there were a lot of those quotes, like Pat mentioned that her father, you know, has a positive affirmative quote that he wrote. And I realized that most people in the rush of day, you know, they want to have something that's very memorable but will help inspire them, like even, you know, if you can dream it, you can do it, Walt Disney. Mm-hmm. Things like that, shoot for the moon and you'll be among the stars. People just like really inspirational things, kind of like getting your little B12 shot, a shot of energy that is good for the soul to hear, because even the Bible says kind words are like honey. So basically what I realized is that, yeah, there were a bunch of those types of quotes in the Dreams of the Heart poems. So, for example, that's why the book is called Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket, because that's the name of one of the poems in Dreams of the Heart. And then there's that quote. There's another quote like, "And blessings unto you, dearest angels, be not ever blue, for he has always loved you." And that's another poem from Dreams of the Heart, but that one line. And then the vision is to, you know, make it so that people can remember them all the time, mm-hmm. so that in their day, you know, for a second, if they feel down, there's a new quote. Just like you said, like, I love inspirational quotes. That's part of the reason why I even wrote the book, because I surround myself with them, read tons of Bible verse quotes, tons of things that just keep me going all day so that I'm feeling positive. And so there's another one too, for example, like a smile to replace the stars. That's kind of more of a Shakespearean type, because, mm-hmm. you know, just to say that our smiles, the smile of a baby, the smile of your best friend, the smile of your mom, the smile of someone you love, is so much more beautiful than anything in the world, basically. It's a smile to replace the stars. It's something just like how Shakespeare would be, you know, oh, if I were, you know, glove upon that hand, just something that just tells someone how important they are to you.
Oh, I love this. Almost at a loss for words. So how then has being a poet changed your life?
You know, I think it actually was interesting, because they say that if you listen, God will show you your purpose in life. And I've said this before, but I truly believe that all we're meant to do all day long is to exchange energy, which is love, which is God, because that's the only thing that will save us. And so basically, after I did it, I've even been kind of contemplating the novel series. Like, I've been thinking about, you know, doing a different type of series, book series, just because I'm starting to realize, you know, I've had so many people tell me, you know, just because you might have a specific plan in mind, God has a specific plan in mind for you already. So I guess the writer part was that I knew I was going to be a writer and an author, but maybe what I was actually going to write, he's actually redirecting that for me. So for me now, it's become this thing where I'm actually becoming much more excited about putting more focus on the dreams of the heart and the joy in the pocket, because I think the message and the idea behind it is so good that it will be something that people will be saying, you know, oh, keep joy in the pocket, because it is a positive message. It's not about me. It's about God and what he wants us to do, which is to say, to know that we've got love nearby and to keep happy, because it's, the Bible says, a cheerful heart is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Staying happy, being surrounded by, completely protected by love, the armor of God, those things. And that's the message in the book, is so that people, when they're reading it, you know, part of the reason why I wrote it was for myself, because it helped me feel like I could get through anything. But because it helped me do that, I thought, well, it could probably help other people feel that way. Because when they read it and they hear words like, oh, you know, God is always on your side, God's always going to protect you, it's healing to the people out in the world that might be alone, might think no one cares about them. And then they're reminded that God is always there to love them and take care of them, and not, there's nothing they should ever worry about, basically.
Wow. Keep joy in a pocket. I'd like to keep you in my pocket and just can inspire us all day long.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep joy in my pocket. Oh, my gosh. Do you think that... you're making me laugh. Do you think everyone has a bit of poetry inside of them?
I do. I actually, there's a quote that I love that says, at the touch of love, everyone becomes a poet.
Mm.
And I believe that's true, because at the end of the day, the Bible does say, those that have hearts like children are the ones that will get eternal life, which is heaven. I'm not quoting it verbatim, but basically that's the idea behind it. And at the end of the day, when we were children, we got up in the morning, we went and colored with our friends, we went and played soccer with our friends, whatever we did, we were just full of life, we were excited, oh my gosh, we learned a new vocabulary word, or whatever it was. And so basically it's when people feel happy, when people feel at peace of mind, they're more able to do those things that they did when they were children. And that's another reason for the book, because to keep people's mind on peace, things, comforting thoughts, rather than what the world, because the Bible does say a third of mankind is going to be, unfortunately, you know, destroyed, which means that we are affected by the ones that are, you know, not in the same mind frame as God's children. So because of that, you know that you want to keep reminding people through God that they're not alone, that there's hope, and that, you know, basically we all are supposed to have that heart of a child, be happy and joyful, which keeps us young and alive.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps us being kind to one another. You know, children will, you know, even if they're wrong, most children, when they have a heart like that's pure, they'll apologize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus that a lot of times people have harder times once they get in the world, and it's harder to, you know, apologize, or it's harder to this and that. And I've made mistakes and here and there, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's just to try to inspire and help people just feel what God wants us to feel, which is peace of mind, and be happy, and just know that we're only supposed to have good things coming into our lives.
Amen to that. And it's never too late to start. I think that's also a good thing to bring up.
Very true, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember I went to a class, an extension class at UCLA, because I was thinking about being a lawyer at one point, and it was a paralegal program. And there was a lady, she was like a grandmother in there. And she was just like, you know, I just thought I wanted, so at any time. And then you look at people like Angela Bassett, who's, you know, almost 60, and she looks phenomenal because she keeps herself healthy, she probably eats right. And so when you see all these positive things, it's to remind people that, hey, the Bible says the best medicine is joy, happiness. And I'm not saying my own name, but a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart, like it's to be happy. So to remind people just how to get back to being happy and laughing and just being joyful, because that's what is going to save us, being happy and being joyful and just being loving to one another and kind to one another.
I agree with you, and I'm hoping that folks take heed as to what we're talking about today. So I know that there's probably a whole lot more we could talk about, but as we begin to wrap up, is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about today?
I guess I could say where they could find my books. My books are on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but the central place they can find them is my website, which is joyschmidt.com, and my name is spelled J-O-I-E, and then it's S-C-H-M-I-D-T, and then .com. And so if anybody is interested in, reading them or, anything on my page that inspires them, my Facebook is facebook.com, and then it's / and I have P.S., like postscript, like when you write a letter, so I put P.S., and then Joy Schmidt.
Okay. Your website, again, it's Joy Schmidt, and let me spell that again as well. It's J-O-I-E-S-C-H-M-I-D-T, joyschmidt.com. And her books are Dreams of the Heart, Volume 1 and 2, and Keep Joy in a Pocket and Love in a Heart Locket. Joy, I really have no words for our conversation today. I really don't. You are a lovely, lovely human being. You are inspiring. You're beautiful. And your wisdom is so much appreciated. I really have no more words to say to you other than thank you.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
And Stay Alive Radio. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo, with the only show in the world that offers patient safety tips served up in a wheelchair, which can only mean one thing, and that it's time to play the game acclaimed by critics, non-critics, and sometimes even self-proclaimed as everyone's favorite game of all time ever.
Fear the wheelchair.
Yes. Listen as Joe reads some right or wrong statements. Then, even though I can't hear you, shout out your answers along with Bob. Is the statement right or is it wrong? Joe?
All right, here we go. Right or wrong, to stand out in a hospital in a positive way, bring photos of yourself and your family.
What do you think about that, Bob?
Well, I think that's definitely right.
Yes, that is one way to show your healthcare staff that you are a real person with a real life and not just another ringing call button. Relationships make the difference.
Right or wrong, if a doctor shows empathy, that means something has gone terribly wrong.
Ooh, what do you think, Bobby?
That may be right.
That's wrong. Empathy is a good thing. Empathy is a good thing. If a doctor speaks to you with understanding, feeling, and emotion, be sure to reinforce that behavior and say, thank you for talking with me like this. I appreciate your saying this. We are all human beings, and it really shouldn't be that difficult to communicate from the heart.
Right or wrong, long-term care only occurs in a nursing home.
What do you think, Bob?
I'm going to say right.
Right. Well, that's what most people tend to think, Bob. But actually, long-term care can happen within the home, assisted living facility, or adult family home, or even a nursing home. Everyone should have some sort of plan for their long-term care, making it an essential part of our life's plan in general.
Right or wrong, patients should refuse to talk with the hospital if a medical mistake happens.
Now what, Bob?
Oh, that's wrong.
You are correct about that. Conversation is a way to maximize your chances to resolve the issue. Communication is key, and both patients and healthcare staff must come together in an attempt to create a common resolution outside of the courthouse. Just another point in favor of relationships.
Right or wrong, the superbug MRSA can live on hairbrushes.
Ooh, what do you think about that, Bobby?
I don't know about that. That may be wrong.
Ooh, no, that is right. Remember, the more you know, Joe's shaking his head. Remember, the more you know, the safer you'll be. And you heard about it here on Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Thanks, guys, for playing everyone's favorite game.
Fear the wheelchair.
You are listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. I am Pat Rulo, where the boys are keeping you safe during any healthcare or hospital encounter.
I'll survive. I will survive.
You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am Pat Rulo, author of the book of the same name, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, the perfect gift for everyone on your I Care About You list. No worry about duplicates or wrong size. This holiday season, you'll be a cool gift giver. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com, or you can call 440-725-5462. Get some of that holiday shopping done. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, the CD, or the very neat container of 10 plastic TV remote control covers. Give a gift that says, I care. Go to speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. And then be sure to come back next week for who knows what will cross my path that I'll just have to share with you. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Did you know that over 70 hospitals nationwide are using essential oils to fight germs, improve mood, and reduce stress? I'm Pat Rulo, radio host of Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, with a new line of essential oils called Tiny Drops. Now you too can have access to these amazing natural health options. For example, you can use lavender to reduce stress, sweet orange to improve your mood, peppermint to improve focus and energy and alleviate those headaches. Tiny Drops, big results. Visit tinydropseo.com.